Okay, in the name of Jesus, we continue with our study. So I assume that we finished Galatians chapter 4, verse 9 to 10. Okay? Now, can you see the importance of answering questions? Yeah, answering the question raised. Right? Don't jump about by giving a lot of verses without actually answering the questions. Okay? So I believe in this. This is my personal belief. Yeah. Every question that is raised, yeah, we can find an answer to it from the passage itself. Okay? There's always an answer in the passage itself. Because the Word of God is living. Power. But it requires effort to search into it. Otherwise, you people are sleeping, you know, what can I do? So I need to crack some jokes. Okay. Now we come back to Sabbath, and still on Sabbath. Alright. Now, the next thing that I want to do is we turn to Romans chapter 10. Okay, what does it mean? This question was raised yesterday, yeah? Chapter 10. Verse 2. Is it verse 2? Verse 4. Okay. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. What does it mean? What does it mean here? So if someone comes to you and tells you that, look, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness, it means that we don't need to keep the law anymore. Please don't tell people that the law here does not include the Ten Commandments. It's not true. Yeah? Please, it's not true. As far as Paul is concerned in the book of Romans, he always equated law to the commandments. Okay, just give you an example, just to show you. Okay, turn to Romans chapter 7. Just to confirm my point, yeah? If you try to split the law into two sections or whatever, then you end up in difficulties, I tell you. Real troubles. Alright, chapter 7. Please read verse 7. Yeah. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law, for I would not have known covetousness unless the law had said, you shall not covet. Can you see? So law actually is the Ten Commandments. It's the commandments in the understanding of Paul. These two terms in the book of Romans can be used interchangeably. Yeah? Do you know what I'm saying now? So please don't go and tell people, look, the law here is not about the Ten Commandments. The law here is about the bylaws. You know what I'm saying? So how would you answer the question? Okay. Man-made one. Which one?
Is the not according to knowledge.
Keep on talking. Keep on.
Go on. Go on. Okay. Go on.
Missed out on God's righteousness.
Okay, put it this way. Okay, put it this way to help you to, how to say, to help you to explain verses, yeah? Okay, we read, I ask you a few questions, so I think it will help, yeah? Now, verse 3 and verse 4, tell me, what are they talking about? Try to be righteous. It's about, what is the key word in this two verses?
Righteousness,
very good. Now you see, you begin to understand. You have the knowledge of God. Righteousness, yeah? Okay, how many types of righteousness here it says? Two. What are they? God's righteousness. Okay, what is God's righteousness? Oh, you see, you begin to go further now, yeah? By faith, yeah? What is by faith means? Believing in Jesus. Believe what?
Jesus the Savior.
Savior. Yeah, I know that. Okay, by faith. What does it mean by faith? Your righteousness you obtain, you are considered righteous through your faith. How does that process happen? How does it happen?
That Jesus died for our sins.
Okay. I know, okay. Okay. Answer my question. Okay. Now you get the idea. The key word or the key concept in these two verses is righteousness. And there are two types of righteousness. The first one is God's righteousness. And the second one is what? Their own righteousness. Okay. Now, just now I asked, what is God's righteousness? And some guy says, no, how can we obtain this God's righteousness? By faith. What does it mean? Can you use other passages to back it up? Can you? Where? Keep reading down. Okay. You keep reading. So you don't need to get baptized then. Okay, class. Okay. Now I think it's a good point. Now you have raised two very important points, yeah? God's righteousness and your own righteousness. Now, God's righteousness has to be obtained through faith. What does it mean? In the book of Romans, can you recall any passages on this? Yes, that's correct.
So that's what you need to teach us. How beautiful are the people
of sister, yes.
Oh, verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing the word.
Okay. No, I'm still on righteousness though. How can you obtain righteousness? The righteousness of God. How can you be considered righteous in the eyes of God? Okay. Okay.
And then you obtain his righteousness. There is an exchange. You exchange your righteousness under the law for God's righteousness.
How does that happen? Okay.
Can we use,
okay.
Can we use Romans chapter 4:25?
Okay.
Chapter 5, verse 1.
Okay. You want to explain?
Well, it says, Jesus our Lord, who was put to death for our trespasses and raised for our justification. And then in chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. I think it requires explanation. It requires explanation. Jeremy, hang on. Jeremy.
Rather than rely on the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Okay, okay. Go on. And I'll summarize all the verses.
Okay. What the Son himself is a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because on his forbearance he have left sin committed before unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so that we just mean that one who is justified goes forward to faith in Jesus.
Okay, hang on. Okay, I allow one more. Wendy. Okay, one more to say. Okay. Please explain all the verses we quoted. How can we obtain the righteousness of God? Just believe. Okay. Now, I think all the points mentioned, are good points. Some of the verses are very good verses, but I think they require further explanation in order to allow the listeners to understand exactly what we are talking about. Yeah? You see the point? Now, I think the important thing is, when a question is raised, and then here it says, verse 3 and verse 4 in Romans chapter 10, right? Two types of righteousness, which is a very good identification on your part, right? You know that there are two types of righteousness here it talks about. The first one is God's righteousness. The other one is the people of God try to seek to establish their own righteousness, not submitting to the righteousness of God. Okay? Now, and verse 4, it gives an indication what it means, okay? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Mean the first type of righteousness, God righteousness, can only be obtained through Christ. Okay, you see now? Yeah? You know what I'm saying, okay? Just help you. This righteousness here, right? Righteousness of God, came through Christ. Right? Came through Christ. Now the people at the time, right, the Jews, they try to establish their own righteousness apart from Christ, right, by the keeping of the law. Can you see the difference? Okay, the first one is we must rely on God, okay, to obtain righteousness, justification. That is only Christ can give us true justification. And the Jews are trying to set Christ apart, all right, by their own effort to obtain righteousness through the keeping of the law. Okay? Now here I will draw a chart for you. Don't confuse this with the keeping of the commandment first. Okay? Don't confuse with that. Alright. Now, let's say this pointer, let's say this is Jesus. Okay? Okay? Now, before, this one is, say, pre-acceptance of Christ. And then this one is post-acceptance of Christ. Okay? This is before and this is after. Now, a person, let's say a Jew here. Okay? If he does not accept Jesus Christ, does not accept baptism, okay, he can never obtain righteousness of God. He will not be reckoned righteous. Okay? No matter how he keep the law, whatever, okay, keep the Ten Commandments and keep every bit of the law, he cannot be made righteous. Now, in the context of Romans chapter 10, this is exactly what the Jew was trying to do. He was trying to do away with this. Okay? Said, no, I don't need this anymore. I can become righteous through the keeping of the law. And Paul said, it's not possible. It's not possible. Okay? Now, the other point that we need to bear in mind, yeah? It doesn't mean that after, you see, this is where the confusion arises. Okay? After we have accepted Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean that we can do away with the law, the Ten Commandments. No. Okay? We still have to keep it. We can read Romans chapter 3, verse 31. Can we read it? Okay. Okay, so I'll read. Can you see it now? Can you see? Okay? So, through faith, let's say this faith, yeah? By accepting Jesus, okay? We do not do away with the law. We do not. We should all the more enhance the law. I think this is a problem of sequence, yeah? Sequence. Okay, that's why I think the confusion with many Christian denominations is that they do not know the sequence. You see my point now? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, is that clear? Okay, this is the law. Okay, any other question you want to raise? Okay, we come back, yeah? So here it says, all right, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Meaning that Christ comes, okay? It means that Christ, only through Christ, you can obtain righteousness, not through the law, keeping of the law, apart from Christ. This is what it means. You know the sequence of. In fact, if you look at the argument in the book of Romans, basically it's this one. Or also in the book of Galatians. Yeah? Law cannot give you righteousness without Christ. This is what it means. Yeah? Okay? Say it out. What? Okay.
She didn't understand.
Repeat to the floor.
So the law here actually refers to the Jews wanting to keep the law to obtain righteousness.
Yes.
Without
Christ.
Living in Christ.
Yes. Thank you very much. That's it. Okay. We come to maybe. Okay. Not exactly. Okay. We always hear that people say we keep the Sabbath under grace. What does it mean? What does it mean? Not that strict. Forget about the rabbi. The rabbi misused the law, misinterpreted the law. Yeah. The law has been fulfilled. Don't keep Sabbath anymore. You must. But what does it mean? Sometimes I'm confused. You know, people say we keep the Sabbath under the law. I mean, under grace. What does it mean? Yeah.
We are in the period of grace, so we don't have to.
No. We are in the period of grace. Yes. Therefore we keep the Sabbath under grace. What does it mean?
Under the new
New era. What does it mean?
Ha ha ha.
This is very good.
Yeah.
That grace can be anything.
Most others have their own catering businesses, so
yeah.
Use that as their excuse to say, well, you can work on
yeah.
Saturday is the busiest day for
yes.
Catering trade. So that's contact our trade.
Yeah, we asked Deacon Luke. Deacon Luke is at the back. Whether he agrees or not. To sin.
To sin.
Mm.
So to observe the Sabbath is an under grace. What does it
mean? I don't understand. That's what I'm asking you.
It still says that when you observe the Sabbath, you must do it with your heart, to do it sincerely, not to be a hypocrite.
Okay. To help answering the question, I'm going to raise another small question for you to think about. Now we are all under grace. Do you think that it is possible for us to be under the law? No. Do you think it is possible for us to be under the law? What does it mean to be under the law and under grace? What does it mean? I think we always think that the first thing that comes to our mind is under grace mean is a New Testament time. Yeah, that's the period. And under the law mean is in the Old Testament time. Is that so? Yeah, I think if you can identify, answer this, then you will be able to answer the question I raised. What does it mean? Okay, very good.
Let me try it. Under the law, that means you are being ruled by the regulations and also the details associated with that regulation, which tend to let people emphasize on the formality. And in the New Testament, God wants us to observe His Sabbath with joy in the Spirit. And we should truly enjoy the grace He has prepared for us. Just like the verses you cited in 1 John, the commandments are not burdens. So we should observe the Sabbath. Under grace, that means we need to be more emphasizing on the true meaning of the Sabbath and enjoy it.
Have fellowship. go out for a few drinks after service. That's what he say. No, it's from USGA. It's not from me.
That's me really careful.
Yes, it's dangerous. A risky thing to do. Go on.
And therefore, keeping the self-ended phrases now, we need to understand what are the true meaning, and not only on that one, how to enjoy the rest God has prepared for us. In this currently pretty competing society, it's not that easy. And I don't know how to observe. Now, I asked you yesterday, I said, seems to me you observe the entire day, 24 hours. Right now, because I'm from sunset to sunset, or sundown, or sunrise to sunrise, it doesn't matter, you observe that whole period.
It's okay if you go for a few drinks with the members, seriously. That's how I look at it. Seriously, I think his fellowship is fine.
No doubt. I fellowship with people, but I thought, to me, that's the only time I could have
fellowship.
Quality time with my friends. Church friends.
You qualify his statement.
The reason is that once you are a long time church members, you tend to be pretty, all your friends tend to be church. I have some co-workers, but they don't quite social with me. I have people in structure there. they don't social with your boss. You know? They just don't. They could invite me to their houses, but they will prepare formal dinners. They don't just ask me for the chips. No. So it's different. So,
do you have fish and chips in USA?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Okay, we're back on the Sabbath. Yeah, come back to the Sabbath.
So observing the Sabbath and the grace is now, I am afraid that we as a church, we are not really observing. This is my personal view, including myself. And maybe that's what we are here for. I try to learn from you.
Please.
Actually, what Brother Michael was saying, I also agree. Jesus comes, his law is more, his commandment is more stringent, more sophisticated, kind of standard value. But that's why, after we are baptized in Christ, the Bible also says that we must be transformed. So it's more like spiritual, it's the unseen. Under grace, to me, I find is the things that cannot be seen. That's in the heart. That's carved in the heart. So in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, "You're going to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." And then continue to 2 again. We must not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Which a lot of us, including myself, I have to also remind ourselves that once we are under grace, we are baptized and under grace, we got to be transformed to renew our mind so that we can know what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You see? So it's all in the heart, that the unseen. And then go on again. Like, we are no longer running after the flesh, but after the spiritual things. And and then meditating on the heavenly things and whatnot. So it's very spiritual. You become an eagle, right? You are transcending. Your spiritual, it has to be, above from this world. But of course, you must have the man and the lion and the ox too, but you also have to be.
The four living creatures. Where's Preacher Chin? He can preach that for 10 hours.
So it's under grace. It sounds very nice, under grace, but it's our spirit, like our heart. Like I said again in chapter 6, verse 15, what then shall we sin because we are not under law but under grace? Surely not. So it's not a right sense. Under grace doesn't mean that we are better off than the Old Testament.
Okay, I just want you to read a verse, just to clear up some of the issues here. I want you to read Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 18. So I don't think everyone is under grace, to be honest, even among Christians, based on this verse. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I think it's very clear, So there's a condition attached. If we want to be under grace, what does it mean? You must be led by the Spirit. So today, if I'm not led by the Spirit, I'm under the law. Okay? What does it mean to be under the law? It means that I will be judged by the law. So if you read from verse 19 onwards, it talks about all the works of the flesh, blah, 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 adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, stuff like that. Yeah. So even though if I'm a Christian, okay, I have received the grace of God, but if I'm not led by the Spirit, chances are that I'm led by my own flesh. In that case, I'm under the law. Why? Because the law will stand against me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So like what has been said, yeah, to be under grace is not a license to sin more. It's not a kind of liberty to indulge yourself in our own flesh or whatever. Right? To be under grace means we must be led by the Spirit. Yeah. I think that is a very important point to remember. Okay? So I think this is also a very useful verse to explain to our Christian friends, telling them that look, it doesn't mean that you are under grace, you can do anything you want. Are you led by the Spirit? If you are not, right, then you're under the law. Meaning that if you do not keep the Ten Commandments, yeah, you see that if you read from verse 19 onward, it talks quite a lot about the Ten Commandments. Adultery is one of them. Idolatry is one of them. Yeah? And what else? Okay? Murder, yes. You see all this? Yeah? So we see that to be under grace means, right, to keep the commandments of God, to keep the truth. I think this is a very important condition. So if any one of us here who does not abide by this principle, most likely we will be under the law. Most likely. Because we will be judged by the law, for sure. Because Jesus says, his words, when he comes again, shall judge us. So this is the principle. Yeah? I don't know. Ask Preacher Ko.
At this point, not now we have church services, but services obviously never last, say now, 5-6 hours. Maybe some of our churches have services up to about 8 hours, but it's now 24 hours.
But I think the principle is in Isaiah. As long as you do not do your own thing on that day, I think that is important. You can do good works. I mean, if there is work of necessity for you to perform, then I suppose you have to do it. I think apart from this, then we should completely rest, enter into the rest of God. But when we say we rest, enter into the rest of God, we should all the more serve the Lord on the Sabbath. I think this is what Jesus Christ has shown us. That we cannot draw a clear guideline, you know, because your lifestyle is different from mine. Your situation is different from mine. It's impossible. If we do that, we just like the scribes. Yeah. You come up with more than 39 classes of principle of whatever you call it, of law. Right? It's quite impossible. So I think it's your heart now. I think most of us here have received the Holy Spirit. Right? If we submit to the Spirit, then we will know. Yeah, if we truly love God and worship God, then I don't think we will do other things to please ourselves. You know what I'm saying? We'll do things to please God. Yeah. That's how I look at it. I believe we can have fellowship. Seriously. That's what we used to do. After the service, there's nothing to do. We can have fellowship with members, have a few drinks. Not alcohol, please. We can chat, talk about church works. Yeah, there's a kind of fellowship. I believe we can do that. That's true. That's true.
Saturday. That is one. So if we go to church, and the reason why we go to church is that this is the day God is going to bless, especially bless. That's what he says. And we give 10 commandments. So we want to go to church for blessings. That is what we should do. We go to church not because it's Saturday.
No, I think to delight in the Sabbath is important. I think in order to do that, achieve that, the heart must be transformed. So I think this is where the Spirit must come in, you know, and ask the Spirit to help, you know, to mold us in such a way that we can have this delight in the day of the Lord. I mean, to observe the Sabbath, you know. That's why I say if our heart is not there, we see that the commandments become a burden. Seriously. It really becomes a burden because you don't feel like doing it. But if your heart is there, it's for God, you feel that it's a joy. Sometimes you observe the newcomers, the troops, I mean those who are newly baptized, you can see the enthusiasm. Unbelievable. Sometimes you compare ours to theirs. We feel embarrassed. Is that not true? It's true, isn't it? You see that that's why the heart is so important. Right? That's my answer. Okay, I think I have covered most of the points that I want to talk about concerning Sabbath. Do you have anything in mind that you want to raise or you want to discuss?
Well, you just suggest something that faith and law, grace and law, they're actually the same. Like if it was a coin, you know, someone says that a coin.
Daniel, this is a lesson for them. Okay.
Yeah, I'm explaining about.
We talk about it later, yeah? It's okay?
I'm talking for everyone's benefit, not just for.
I'll talk to you. Okay, go on.
So you know the word law. Come on, the word in Romans. In the chapter they use gives the letter law.
Mm.
The other one, the small letter, is
To me, I don't think there's a difference. Any more questions? The festive Sabbath, like the rest day, during the feast day, or the first day of a month, is a Sabbath rest. That's all I can say. What else do you want to know? I think on that day itself is a Sabbath, it's a rest day. That's why we can see that it appears quite many times in the Old Testament, they come together. All right, I'll just show you a verse, if I can remember. Okay, we read, where is it? Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66 verse 23. I think there's one, yeah, also one in Amos. Verse 66:23. You see that they always come together, alright? I think that refers to the same thing because on the day of the new moon is a rest day itself. It's always a rest day. But where is it at the other one? Yeah. Chapter 8 of Amos. Verse I think just now we talked about righteousness, isn't it? I think I have one more point to just a sidetrack, digress slightly. Now I think just now the class raised the question, justification by faith. Alright? Can I ask you a question? Because this is also a commonly asked question, yeah? Justification by faith. When does it happen? When does it take place in our life? Baptism. Can I explain how it happened? By faith. I think it's the same words, isn't it? Righteousness. Yeah. Same root words, at least same root words in the original text. Yeah. Okay, when does this happen? Baptism, yes. Justification by faith, yeah. Now some people will tell you, okay, you need to be justified through faith, not through baptism or whatever, okay? I just want you to can someone read Romans 5:9 or 10? I don't remember. Okay, and 1 Corinthians 6:11. Can someone just read? Yes. Okay. Okay. By blood. Now, 1 Corinthians 6:11. Also read Titus. Chapter 3, verse 7. Okay, so Titus, yeah? 3:7. Here is one. Grace, yeah? Okay. So if we link all this together, okay, then we can see that it happened when? When does it happen? Or when will it happen? When will it happen? The first one is by blood, yeah? The second one we have read is name and spirit, by his name, by the name of Jesus. And the entire process is what? The grace of God. So, this happened when? Baptism. Exactly. Yeah? Can you see? So when you piece them together, okay? Not only justification by faith, in the scriptures there are different terms used to qualify the word justification. Blood, name, spirit, grace. So we add them up together. You see that this happened in baptism. You baptize in the name of Jesus. With the presence of the Holy Spirit, the blood is there to cleanse you. You are redeemed. You are justified. So justification by faith or justification by grace, right, must include these three elements. Can you see now? Yeah? Okay.
If that's the case, why we did not cite less in the baptism related literature?
Hey?
If this is the to me it's a pretty good interpretation. I'm wondering why in the TGSC publications we never cited this way.
No, it's my personal opinion.
which is fine. No, which is excellent. That makes a lot of sense.
That's the editor.
No, because when you talk to people, they always tell you justification by faith. You cannot say that is wrong. So you have to explain. What does it mean? You tell them that what does faith include? So we just come out of this.
And then there's no other places in the Bible that talks about being justified.
What do you mean?
Because in here, you cite three verses now. They are all being justified by blood, by his name, by the Spirit of God, and also justified by his grace.
Mm.
If I go back to look at the keyword search, okay, go through the keyword search, there's no other verses talks about being justified by other means.
I don't know. The grace, you can check for me if you want. I don't know. Oh, that is James. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, Romans 4 verse 2 also.
Yeah.
Well, if Abraham was justified by works.
Yes.
Or if Romans, okay.
4:2, Romans 4:2.
Romans
4:2. Abraham's righteousness apart from the works.
I think if you talk about James, yeah, I think that refers to believers.
Believers.
Yes, faith plus work, meaning after you have this faith in Jesus, yeah, faith. You must also have work. Faith is demonstrated in your work. That's what James is saying. If there's no work, it means that your faith is basically dead. That's what it means. Yeah. I think the scenario is slightly different.
Yes.
Yeah. Now what I'm trying to say, okay, when a question is raised, don't try to contradict the person too much. By raising a lot of other verses, you know what I'm saying? Try to explain the idea, the concept. Because I always believe in this, the word of God is organic, is living. So there it must be a way to explain it. There must be a way. Yeah. If you have no question, then I'm going to ask you a question. I got 10 minutes left. Being born again, yeah? Okay. Anyways, I think. Yes, yeah. Hey, it's working.
Switch it up.
I just want to pick a few questions, so I'll get a few to come up here and answer the question. You have learned how to answer questions. You should be able to answer now. Okay, it's on the Sabbath. Question 10, yeah? Interesting. I want someone to answer it. Okay, I'm trying. Simple enough?
Yes.
Okay, question 10. Has the Sabbath been changed from Saturday to Sunday by such event as the resurrection appearance of Jesus to the disciple before his ascension and the downpour of the Holy Spirit? No, explain. Because Jesus was with them. Okay, forget about number 10 and number 12. Okay, can someone please come up here and explain? 20 verse 7. Acts. Explain from the context of the scriptures, yeah? You see, they gather together to break bread and to eat. They're gathering together. It's the Sabbath. The Sabbath has been changed. Okay.
who wants to volunteer to come out and answer the question number 12?
After having gone through for 1.5 days, almost 2 days, you still have the courage to come out here to preach for Jesus Christ? Hey, don't record it down, please. And delete it, please. It's going to, they are going to send it to USG, not sure. Come, Daniel. Come answer the questions. Yes.
Just basically, we know Paul, I mean from 20 verse 7, yeah, chapter 20 verse 7, Paul will depart the next day, okay? So obviously, they were gathering, okay, so to fellowship with Paul, yeah, the day before they left. And by gathering together, it doesn't mean, that was the Sabbath. I mean, you can worship and gather any day you want. Again, it doesn't mean it doesn't mean the Sabbath
change
or something.
Okay.
The other verse?
16 verse 2. Brothers from America, very quiet. They only talk after the lesson.
Well, I represent US.
Yeah, but you are the Exodus generation. This is the desert generation.
Thank you much.
Because you came out from Taiwan. They were born in America, so they are the desert generation. Or Canaan generation. I'm joking. It's okay. You're under 20. You want to try, brothers? Yeah, US. It's too simple, isn't it? I can get you a difficult one then. The answer.
Could I comment on that one? I think this is just like accounting procedures. Really 16. They are saying it is the church's wish to collect contributions. And just like we learn nowadays, if you don't put aside money on a regular basis, you tend to having trouble in coming to. So the suggestions are you set aside the first day of every week. Doesn't necessarily mean that the first day of any week has any special significance from the observing the church functions or especially on the Sabbath.
Prepare for the rainy days, something like that.
Yeah, because if you really read the verse 1 and 2, verse 1 now concerning the collection for the saints. As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also, which is now in verse 2, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up, as he may prosper, that there be no collection when I come. So it's just a mention, a suggestion, say, okay, from to help you to make contribution, my suggestion are every day, every first day of every week, you set aside some money. And the mind counter all the week, it's nothing to do with yourself.
Okay. You look at another question, yeah? Question 15. Sorry, it's not there. Yeah. Alright. Turn to Romans chapter 14, I think. Okay, verse 6, yeah? The question is in verse 6. He who observes the day, observe it to the Lord, and he who does not observe the day to the Lord, he does not observe it. Okay, here people say, you see, you don't have to observe the Sabbath. You don't necessarily have to observe the Sabbath. Right? If you want to, fine, you can do it. But if you don't want to, it's also fine. You cannot force others to observe it. How will you answer it? Get a sister. Any volunteer? Hello? Hello? It's not the time to read the Bible. Look up! All of a sudden you are so hard at reading the Bible. So diligent. I mean. Yeah, day, any day. It can be any day. So. Yeah, it can be any day. So why force me if I don't want to observe it? Okay, if you don't answer it now, this will be your assignment for tonight. Individual assignment, yeah? Don't know, it's not group assignment. At least 2,000 words. What? This one is express class, man. Class to Africa. 2,000, yeah? Okay, please do this for tonight. Let's say a silent prayer.